This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 29th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. Virginia is increasing investments in free public preschool, but a new report shows many four-year-olds are still without access to state-funded early education. Megan Pauly with VPM News reports.
A report from the National Institute for Early Education Research found that only 22% of all four-year-olds statewide are enrolled in the Virginia Preschool Initiative Program. Only those who are low income or at risk qualify, though localities have some flexibility in how they determine eligibility. Here's Stephen Barnett, who worked on the research.
If you're under 70%, my view is you're doing something wrong. You're either not providing access or you're not doing the outreach you need to recruit to enroll.
Virginia is in the middle of the pack nationwide when it comes to preschool access. Researchers noted two other state-funded preschool programs in Virginia serving kids in private settings were not included in their analysis. Even if they had been, experts say about a third of all four-year-olds in the state receive any state support for preschool. Megan Pauly, VPM News.
A grassroots group in the Harrisonburg area, mostly led by retirees, has educated the public about climate change and advocated for solutions for 18 years. This spring, they decided to disband and pass the environmental baton to other organizations that have sprouted up. WMRE's Randy Behage has this.
The first seed was planted by a hurricane. Two hurricanes, actually. Ivan and Katrina. Kathy Strickler, a retired Harrisonburg High School counselor, and her husband Charlie, a retired dentist, volunteered doing disaster relief work in Grenada and Mississippi. They questioned what was fueling these powerful storms.
So I started reading and learned that climate change was the main magnifier of these horrible events. I said, I gotta do something.
In 2008, she founded the Climate Action Alliance of the Valley, or CAV. Lynn Smith, a retired James Madison University track coach, was a founding member.
So we were looking for ways to get people to take in the information and the science of it and the need for being active. I thought it was really hard for people to actually accept that this was happening.
With a core group of around 8 to 15 people throughout the years, CAV branched out into a myriad of projects: film screenings, talks, protests, Earth Day celebrations, political lobbying, public art, fundraising for natural disaster victims, the list goes on. WMRA covered several, including a 2017 event in support of the Paris Climate Accord.
Ann Nielsen, too, returned.
We can do this for ourselves, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the planet. We have no choice, but it's a happy choice. We can do this.
And a look at their community composting initiative in 2019.
We've gathered 31 tons of compostable waste.
And that's Rosie Lynch from CAV's.
Another action that stands out that was very controversial was that Mark Warner was here as a senator and had a luncheon meeting at Clementine, and we found out about it and organized a march that drew people from the region and crowded the street, Main Street, because he was supporting the KXL pipeline out west.
That's the Keystone XL pipeline that was proposed to transport tar sands oil from Canada to the U.S. It was officially abandoned in 2021. Laura Dansby, a local mother and community volunteer, her husband Bishop, and the Stricklers got arrested in D.C. in 2013 protesting that pipeline.
The whole area in front of the White House, the park, it was filled. It wasn't that scary until, I guess the scary part got when they put the handcuffs on and loaded us onto the paddy wagon.
But CAV wasn't just organizing and marching in protests. Joy Loving, a retired Social Security analyst and management information analyst, was an early adopter of residential solar panels in Rockingham County. Through CAV, she worked with the national nonprofit Solar United Neighbors to create four solar cooperatives throughout the Shenandoah Valley.
It was a buying in bulk kind of thing. They got a pretty good deal on the installation, and I think it helped promote something I thought was really important, which was to give people the opportunity to have some energy independence in terms of their energy source and to reduce their electric bill, as well as help the climate.
Les Grady, a retired professor of environmental engineering, led the group's speakers bureau.
The most interesting talk that I gave was to the Page County Tea Party. They started asking questions. The arms came down. That's one where I felt like I really wasn't preaching to the choir.
His wife, Johnny Grady, a retired high school librarian, recounted a parade they marched in as part of the Carnival de Resistance in 2013, a traveling artistic performance promoting the theology of creation care.
I dressed them in shredded black trash bags, and they were zombies, fossil fuel zombies. And a couple of fellows, Doug Hendren for one, wore a fancy coat and a top hat, and he was an oil millionaire.
They rallied against the Mountain Valley and Atlantic Coast natural gas pipelines at regulatory hearings and community meetings.
I'm so thrilled to see the young people finally starting to jump in. It's their future, not mine.
They commissioned a steel sculpture named The Defenders that they set up around Nelson County near the path of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. That project was canceled in 2020 following years of legal battles with environmental organizations and local grassroots groups across the political spectrum. When Kathy Strickler heard the news,
well, I cried because I didn't think it was possible. I just thought we were doing the right thing.
With many of CAV's founding members now in their 80s or beyond, the steering committee has decided to shutter the organization. Many of them told me they're sad to see it end, but proud that other groups such as Renew Rocktown, Livable Harrisonburg, and Valley Interfaith Action are carrying on the work. CAV has borne its fruit, and in doing so, reseeded the valley soil.
Singing for creation.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find a longer version of that story with photos at WMRA.org. The U.S. Department of Energy has selected Virginia Tech and the Southeastern Universities Research Association to operate the Thomas Jefferson National Accelerator Facility in Newport News. As Roxy Todd reports, the facility's director says they are shifting their focus.
The Jefferson Lab is one of the nation's leading nuclear physics research facilities and draws over 1,000 scientists from around the world each year. For decades, Virginia Tech has been involved at the lab, and now the university will be an official operator. The previous contractor, Southeastern Universities Research Association, or SURA, merged with Virginia Tech to form a new company called SURA Tech.
Every person that is currently at Jefferson Lab will get a new contract at SURA Tech.
The lab's director, Jens Dilling, says about 7% of their workforce was either laid off earlier this year or agreed to a voluntary resignation. The lab currently has 840 full-time employees. The Department of Energy awarded SURA Tech a 5-year contract to manage the lab. This comes after the DOE canceled the bidding process last year, saying the lab did not align with the agency's priorities. Dilling said as part of the new contract, they are shifting their focus to add data and quantum computing science to the research they do. They're also studying ways to make nuclear energy production more efficient. I'm Roxy Todd.
The Virginia Department of Transportation is reminding people to stay alert when driving through work zones. Toby Cox from our partner station WHRO News has more.
The Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles estimates more than 4,000 work zone crashes happened in Virginia in 2025. That's more than the year before, and nearly half of them happened in Hampton Roads. Kelly Alvord with VDOT says drivers should slow down, not tailgate, and put away distractions.
It's a very vulnerable place for our construction workers and our construction staff to be. And so they're really trusting the drivers and the public to have those safe behaviors so that they can go about their job safely and really finish the job they're there to do.
Thousands work on job sites along roadways in the region. Alvord says staying alert can help ensure everyone gets to go home at the end of the day.
Virginia may soon have a system that has a discounted rate structure for water service. Michael Pope reports the new rates would be available to lower-income customers.
Water bills are about to get more fluid. That's because Governor Abigail Spanberger is signing a bill allowing water utilities to offer discounted rates for low-income customers, people at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. The bill was introduced by Senator Dave Marsden, a Democrat from Fairfax County.
And it's just an opportunity for a water utility to spread the costs around for those who may struggle to pay their utility bills, and for everybody to kind of pay a little bit more so that others can not fall behind on their water bills or be threatened with getting their water cut off.
The new law allows water utilities to cover the costs of the program by charging commercial and industrial customers. Here's Delegate Tony Wilt, a Republican from Rockingham County, asking House Majority Leader Charnel Herring about the program.
Taking the cost and shifting it to the commercial industrial customers, what will they do with that increase? Do you think they'll just absorb it, or will they pass it on?
Mr. Chair, I answer the delegate that it's up to the utility how they handle that.
When the new law kicks in next year, utility companies will be able to go to the State Corporation Commission and ask for approval to create a discounted rate structure that provides reasonably adequate service at reasonable and just rates. I'm Michael Pope.
That was the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 29th, 2026. Thanks for listening.